the most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
What is up, App Nation? It is Steve P. Young, founder of AppMasters.com, coming to you every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, really breaking down what it takes to make it in the app business. And today, I've got one of your favorite guests of all times. You guys asked for him. I reached out to him to bring him back on to really break down the dark side, the dark secret behind a seven-figure exit. His name is Alan Waller. He is the CEO at Blue Throne. So without further ado, let's bring him in. Alan, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, Steve. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I know every time we do one of these, you always have real world case studies. So I'm super excited to break it all down for the audience here. How's life on the Blue Throne side of things?
Quite amazing. Actually, you know, we need to handle after some acquisitions, we need to handle the new babies to grow them. They are growing amazingly. But still, we are always looking for, you know, more acquisitions and more growth and partnerships with amazing individual developers. Because, you know, if you think about it, we are kind of like dealing with the best indie developers in the world.
Yeah.
So it's quite amazing. And so far, very successful.
I love it. Well, you guys, if you guys are interested in learning, learning more, getting a free valuation of your app, just go to bluethrone.io, bluethrone.io. All right. Victor is here. How's it going? Nurex is here. Louise, good to see you. Juliet, good to see you. 2 weeks in a row. Love that. Itachu, good to see you. And then George, good to see you here as well. If you guys got any questions for Alan, just leave it in the comments below and just let me know where you guys are tuning in from. All right, my friend. Well, I'll follow your lead. I know you prepared an awesome presentation, and if this is your first time with Blue Throne, trust me, you're in for a treat. All right, Alan, I'll go
right.
For it.
With these high expectations, I'm sure I will not disappoint you guys. So I think that the last time that I've been in your show, Steve, it was a year ago, just before MAU. Currently, they anticipated MAU, but it was a year ago, and we talked about your cards. How to understand from your current situation, your current numbers and KPIs of your app, how much it values, what is the multiplier, how much money you're going to get in the exit day. But today, and I will share my screen, just let me know if you can see it. 1 second. All right. Second, let's see.
All right, while we do that, George says, I'm always seeing you in my inbox, Alan. And then Urban Steven from Numella, Chicago. All right, cool, bro. Nurex, I didn't know you were in New York. That's awesome. I'm glad you put New York. I had no idea.
All right. Let's see. Now you could see.
Did you press the right button?
All right.
There we go.
Yeah. So what we are going to do today is to understand the seven figures exit game. Steve, are you familiar with the escape room game?
Am I familiar, Alan? Yes. I love them. We do them everywhere. I take my family. We did one in Hawaii. I've done them everywhere. So yes, I am very familiar.
What
is the last
time you did it, and what was the concept?
The last time we did it was a couple of weeks ago in Hawaii. The concept was a circus, and I loved it because it was circus games too involved with it.
All right, so you get into the room, and then you need to find, you know, the clues in order to pass from one room to another, right?
Correct.
So in today's presentation, I want us to think that we are in kind of like an escape room, only that the reward is actually an exit. So let's call it the exit game, okay? We need to find the way out, and we need to pass basically four rooms, okay? We will talk about the rooms and, the hard truth is that we need to pass all of them. We might skip one of them and still get a seven-figure exit, but it's better to pass them all, and we will see it in a second. Before we are jumping into the game, we already talked, but quickly, I'm Alan Waller from Blue Throne. What we do is actually acquiring or partnership with the best app owners, usually indie developers or small group of developers. They are joining the team and we are growing the app together. So this is what we do. We did over in our lifetime, over 100 exits to app developers. Currently, we are focusing on bigger apps, let's say, but still, like, it's an amazing journey. And because, Steve, we are seeing so many apps every week, we start to see some trends. Trends of retention, trends of user acquisition, organic or paid, trends of engagement, and so on. Of course, monetization, that this is something that we'll have to do, but it will be the last room. Spoiler alert. All right, this is what we do. And let's jump into the game, the exit game, the seven figures exit. And the first room that every app developer actually needs to pass, Steve, is the acquisition. And I mean by acquisition, user acquisition. How do we acquire users into the app? Now, we know there are a lot of ways to acquire users, right, Steve? ASO, which you are the specialist. Actually, you don't need to know ASO. You just come to Steve and he is doing your magic, right, Steve?
Sure. Correct. Yes.
People, so we have ASO. And actually, we have social media to run our own social media channel. We have influencers marketing. We have PR, which is a different subject where you can grow it just by specializing in the PR niche. And we have, of course, paid user acquisition, Apple search ads, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Google, etc., etc. So you can do them all, but most likely you will miss everything. So it's better to focus. So ASO, again, you can go to Steve, and PR, they are the specialists there, etc., etc. But something that people miss, and I think it's mostly relevant to individual developers without too much funds and without raising funds from a VC or knowing how to grow a team, more than three or four people, is the viral effect. Steve, are you familiar with viral effect?
Just, yeah. Like, obviously, one download turns into three downloads because people are sharing it.
This is a dream, right? This is a dream. But the reality is that either the feature does not exist because nobody thought to build it, or it exists and nobody is monitoring its performance, or even if you monitor the performance are actually lame. So this is what usually is happening. And again, if you think about an app as a living creature, where you have a lot of users or even small amount of users at first stages, to optimize for viral effect, and we will see examples in a second from for those who are not familiar with the concept and how it looks and feels, it's like free downloads basically that you are getting. And if you think that every download will result in the next rooms into also monetization, let's say even half a dollar per user, something like a very small, it adds up. And in the acquisition moment, when you are going to exit and final the seven figures exit game, it's going to multiple, okay? So let's say you are making 100 more users a day, okay? And every user is making you just half a dollar, okay? LTV even, not even in the first day or week, okay? Eventually, you take this and add up and multiple by, 36 months, sometimes 48 months, any significant amount of money. Regardless, the flying wheel that these users are pushing all the other metrics into the positive stages to exit eventually. So let's just define what is viral effect and what do we mean by viral effect. So viral effects are when you get your existing customers to get you more new customers, ideally for free. And this is the something that we need to put more emphasis about. So if one customer user, as Steve said, is bringing three, and the next three are bringing, 10, 9, 15, it's amazing. You will see the growth, exponential growth of users, and you will be amazed. However, as we said, the reality is that one user will bring maybe 0.5 other users or 0.1 or something like that. Of course, once you cross the one, maybe 1.1 even, the virality starts to kick in. Okay? Again, we need to think first how this feature should look and feel, how we monitor the feature performance, and how we optimize to some number that greater than zero, let's say. Okay? Even 0.2, 0.5, eventually, it will make a lot of money in the exit day. Okay? Does that make sense, Steve?
Love it.
Amazing. So let's see an example. This is an app named, by the way, Fitbod. Amazing app. I'm using it every day. Maybe someday we will acquire it as well. I'm trying. So Fitbod is like a workout app. Like you go to the gym, you set like on the onboarding, you say what you have in the gym, and then it builds all the workouts automatically for you. Okay. So the virality effect that they did it, they presented there is basically in most of the screens, you can have a button to share with your friend and to give him a pass for the next, whatever, 6 free workouts, okay? And then, like, they are actually measuring, you know, how many users actually shared it. And we can see that they put a lot of, you know, emphasis into this feature because after every workout, you finish, you get the report, and then you like really want to share either your performance with your friends or some like free pass. And then like, it's amazing. And we will see in a second how the virality effect is not just, you know, a standalone feature, like a feature that is now, you know, under the hood, nobody is looking at it, but the feature is built into the ecosystem of the app, into the flow. We will talk about it in a second. How do we measure, again, success KPIs? How do we know that we actually did it? Of course, we can calculate stuff like K factors and put the events and understand exactly how many users actually shared the app. But, you know, if we are zooming out for the macro, as I spoke earlier, what we are aiming here is organic traffic growth, okay? A year ago, when we have been hosted in the show, as I said, I mentioned like carbs, like what is the percentage of organic traffic that you currently have in the app? And it's something that is critical to measure because if it's very low, let's say between 0 to 30%, it means that the app is really reliable on paid user acquisition. And it also means that, you know, the best apps in the world, the best organic apps in the world, and the best companies in the world are coming from organic traffic. If you think, Steve, about Facebook and Instagram, and of course, WhatsApp, these are the easy, you know, apps to companies to think about. But you can also find in app stores, the best ones are ranked in the first positions. Why? Because they have the best retention, they have the best ratings, they have the best engagement, they have maybe not the best monetization, and this is also an opportunity, right? What do you think about organic versus paid, Steve?
I like it. I think what I would want to get a sense of, and curious to see what you see, what's a good balance, Alon, between percentage, organic versus paid?
Honestly, it's the balance, but also the trends. Because if you are doing, let's say you are starting out and you have nothing and you did a great ASO and you find yourself between, I don't know, 30 to 70%, okay? It's a good case, let's say. But then you are advertising, you're doing paid user acquisition, but actually you're not getting more organic downloads, okay? So you actually pay the CAC, the customer acquisition cost, and the LTV, and this is your game. And like, I believe that you saw it a lot of times, the CAC will always grow, okay? Yeah. It's not going to the you know, the downward. So it means that you need to monetize better with time that pass. So I want to see growth in organic downloads, either purely organic, and we can find a lot of apps that are having like a lot of installs or inorganic installs because they are ranked and already positioned themselves, okay, in the top rankings, top real estate in App Store or Google Play. Mm-hmm. But if this is not the case, we need to focus on the organic percentage. So to your question, anything like on the 30 to 70 organic is something that's worth looking at. If we are looking just on like the card number 4, and for those who want to get all the information about it, you can maybe later go back 1 year and see the presentation. But if there is no growth in organic traffic, you know, it's it will be a game of Kakel TV, and most app owners losing that game.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed, Alan, and I love your take on this, so feel free to disagree, but I think the big guys only think about the CAC to LTV, and that's all they care about, and they ignore organic. And even the like bootstrap indie developers I've worked with who have good organic rankings and they're spending money, that's all they focus on. They don't focus on ASO as much. Whereas the indies, they only focus on ASO. It needs to be a right balance between the two, not necessarily heavy on one side. And I tend to see heavy on one side. Maybe it's just because that's why they come to me, right? So I don't know.
No, I'm seeing that anyway. But if we think about it, you know, the big guys got VC money.
Yeah.
And at first, the Kakel TV even doesn't make sense. We can see the numbers. They are coming also to us, either to get investment, to get partnership, or even to sell their asset or their Kakel TV, arbitrage, whatever. But, you know, I can tell you that the best ones, the best apps in the stores, are mostly organic. And this is a result of, you know, you can find one indie that is doing a better job than a company of 20 or 30 people in terms of all metrics, usually besides of monetization. But, you know, this is reality and this is what is happening.
Okay. I like it.
So we must see the organic traffic, at least the positive trend. So this was like a user acquisition. And we focused on virality. Engagement is the second room that we need to cross. So if you can see the clues that we have in the engagement. So we have personalization is that we are going to the app. You're putting your details with engagement. The app like learns you. So if you think about, I don't know, some kind of dating app or something, right? The algorithm can learn your preference. Or you set the preference yourself. You have your name. You have your image. So you're getting more and more. You're putting more investment of time and some information into the app. And it makes you to be more engaged. So this is the personalization. Challenges. I don't know for those of you who are playing gaming. Challenges. Do this and get that. It also drives amazing engagement. Rewards. Okay, get this, get that, badges, and leaderboards, and onboarding, of course, okay? But something that, again, is ignored is a core loop. Let's define core loop, and then, Steve, I will ask you how many apps you saw that with the core loop, or even putting some, you know, attention toward a core loop, which is something that, when you build a game, this is what you build first, the core loop. And on top of it, you build the actual app. So what is it, core loop? The question is, how active are the app users, right, to drive engagement? And to what degree do users perform the core loop actions if you have a core loop? So what we see a lot in the app owners that apply for an exit, we see an app. Maybe it was good back in the days, and you can see it in the engagement metrics. But then the developer keeps thinking that if he will add, or he or she, sorry, will add more features, this is what will drive engagement and eventually drive growth, okay? But the reality is, again, that once you put too many features into an app, and once you do it in a confusing way, you actually lose the traction, you're making users to churn very quickly, and basically you are losing your asset. So the concept of the hook model, by the way, it's coming from Nir Eyal. So I really recommend the book Hooked, like you see here in the picture. The audio book is also amazing. You can find yourself the copy. So how it works, there is a trigger. And in a second, we will see examples. It will not be just like a nice drawing with concepts, right? There is a trigger, external and internal. There is an action. You get a reward and you do another investment into the app and repeat and repeat. And if you do the, you do it right and you actually, the trigger solves some, you know, issue or some pain or giving some satisfaction to the user, it will go again and again and again, and you will see growth. Let's see the example from the Fitbit app, okay? You have a trigger. I get a push notification. Hey, lazy boy, time to work out. Your muscles already recovered. Now I'm going to zoom in, and you can actually see like your body, like the muscles, which muscles are already recovered, let's say legs in this case, right? And the upper body is already worked out. You can see the percentage. And then basically in one click of a button, when it's time to work out, you need to log a workout, which means actually to, you know, lift weights for 1 hour or do some, you know, stuff in the gym for 1 hour. So it's pretty big action. But the final outcome is log out. So again, the trigger is time to work out. The action is log a workout, which is something that you really work hard to do. You know, in any way, hard. And then you get a reward. Yep. You get a report right after the workout completed. And you can see that you're growing your muscles. You can lift more weight. Here we see you lifted 42,400 kgs, you know, in the last, whatever, 1.5 months. Okay. It makes you feel very good. And the next thing, after you completed the report, you are getting the option to share your report, okay? So previously in the viral, we saw the sharing the free workout with the next user, right? With your friends or in socials. And here you can directly go to, in one click of a button, to Instagram or to whatever socials and to be proud of yourself. So again, there is a loop here. You're getting a trigger. You get an action, get a reward, happy with yourself, maybe do an investment, and again, because the muscles are recovering. So the game is, in this case, at least like as a heavy user of this app, is to keep my body red in the drawing, okay? I feel very bad when the muscles are already recovered and I didn't work out. So there is a huge, big trigger here. It's important to say that sometimes there is the trigger, action, and reward without the investment because, you know, you are not going to share unless you are, I don't know, very proud of yourself or something. Every day your performance reports, maybe on one-on-one, but, you know, to the socials, maybe less likely, but still it will work out great. What do you think, Steve?
I love this chart. And I think I would love your thoughts on this too. I think a lot of us, especially the indies, we focus on the trigger and action and we don't focus enough on the reward and investment. And I've seen a lot of apps where obviously I know to trigger, they'll send a push notification. So they'll try to do anything they can to trigger the action. We'll do an action, but the reward and investment, and I think about the apps that I use frequently, right? And the reward, I love this, the red and that part of it. Is this Fitbod still?
Yes.
Yeah. So I love that. But yeah, like the ones I use a lot, like I'll just show my app right now that I use Zero for intermittent fasting. And you can see, you know, the little clock. But then if you undergo me, you can see all my stats in there. And now, like, I don't want to lose these. Alan. So like, even if you give me like the best intermittent fasting app, you're like, you have to use this, you have to switch. I'm less likely to switch because of all the stat data out of it too. So I really love this point.
High switching costs, basically all these apps, you know, are creating. So what is the success KPI?
I love that. Hold on one second, Alan. The high switching costs, that is perfect. That's the perfect way of saying it because there are so many competitors out there. And I think too many times people think about retention and annual subscriptions when they're coming up, right? And they're like, how do I prevent this? How do I make it a high? And then that is the reward, the investment, all that stuff too. All right. Sorry.
Amazing. So, you know, how do you measure success here? So first, you need to understand your core loop, okay? And again, if you have much more features. Let's say the zero, which I'm using it also, right? You go into the app, you start your fasting, right? Because it's time to fast over, or you are coming to end the fasting, right? Depends how you look at as a trigger. And then like, once you completed the meal, Steve, you jump to the app. This is the first thing that I do. Like an idiot, I'm going to the app, starting my fasting. I'm doing 16:8. Not like exaggerating, but how much you do?
I usually do on weekdays, I'll probably do 18 to 20. And then weekends, typically 16. And right. I'll cheat. I'll maybe do 15. So I've been relaxing. Usually I was very never touching a thing until 16. But now I'm a little bit less because I do so many hours on the weekdays.
Yeah. So actually, this is like a trigger. I finish the meal. I click on the button, usually like even on my Apple Watch. And then it starts. And then I get up in the morning. I'm doing it like from 5 p.m. to about 9 a.m. Okay? This is what comfortable to my life. And the first thing that I do, like before the meal, I'm preparing everything. And I click on end fasting. I get a reward. 16 hours. Yeah, it's the, like, I don't know, the... there is a streak there. I don't actually remember. I'm really happy with myself and repeat. Okay. It's part of the meal, let's say, already. So we need to see first to understand the core loop, then to monitor. Okay. What are the actions what the trigger, what the action, what the reward, the investment, and how many users, percentage of users of our user base actually do it? Because this is what they actually came to do in this. Example that we see in the screen, we are seeing like make new friends app, like some kind of dating for Gen Z, if we say, or just make more friends. There are core actions, send a friend request, skip, etc., etc. And we are actually measuring the positive signals of sending friend request, accepting a friend request, etc. And of course, start to chat. And once we put more like attention into it and think how we can increase the number of users that actually complete the cycle, because we can see they are coming back, we can see they are more engaged, and therefore most we're getting more revenue, subscriptions, ads revenue from watching ads, etc., etc. So, but my point is to identify the core loop in your app, to focus just on that. Even if you have other features, it's fine. Put the monitoring, the events and everything there, and try to optimize for the users to do this core loop action, okay? Again and again. Does that make sense, Steve?
I love it.
All right. So the third room is retention. So earlier we spoke about engagement. Engagement means what do we do when the user is inside the app to keep him longer or to do the actions that we want him to do inside the app. Retention, we mean, how can we bring them back to that? Okay. So in this escape room, exit room, we have push notifications. We have email marketing. We have like the streaks that people want to come back to complete some kind of streak. Okay. We have retargeting paid campaigns that we can see that people are trying to do. But again, the biggest thing that we see that people are missing out is the network effect. Steve, are you familiar with the network effect?
No, tell me.
All right. So network effect. Network effect is a concept that I think that the first ones that brought it into the our minds even is NFX. NFX is a VC. They invested a lot in gaming, but now they're investing in other stuff. But they were focusing on only network effect products. What does it mean? Network effect. The more users a product has, the more value every user gets. So let's say you have again this make new friends app, the dating app, right? If you have one or two users, right, there is not much value in the app, right? So they don't want to meet each other. Maybe they are in different geos, even one in the US, one is in Japan, right? But once more users are joining to this ecosystem, the users are getting more value because they can choose from a better selection of other users, right? Females, males, whatever. Males to males, females to females. Who knows? So basically, the NFX guys discovered that there are 16 types of product market fit. And again, for those who want to like get geeky about it, they have a free course in their website. I love these guys. So this is how like you can get everything about the network effect a notion and how to put it into effect inside your app. But the most interesting network effects type is, let's say, personal utility. We will talk about it in a second. And marketplace, two-sided. Okay? Let's see it now. All right. So again, coming back to the like dating app, okay? You have in the hard side of the network and you have the easy side. The hard side is, of course, the females in most cases, depending on the app, right? Females are few. And once, like, in, you know, Steve, when you go to the club and there are, I don't know, only guys, okay? There must be at least 10 to 20% of girls in order to attract the easy side, the guys, right? So this is exactly how a dating app is working. So we have here two-sided marketplace that interact with each other. And the more users we have, the more girls or the more boys, we have a better value to the whole ecosystem. So this is something that an app that is like social in its essence, it's already having some type of or kind of network effect. But yeah. Also, do you have a question, Steve?
No. Sorry, my internet might be crappy, but yes.
Yeah, so on the other side, we have the, like, let's say, WhatsApp, which also, like, born as a network effect product. They started as a one-to-one communications, so you can only communicate with each other, and you should know its number, right? It's not that, like, you can just go for a stranger and start to talk with. And then they open the groups, and now the network, the connections between the network is even bigger. So the value of this product is even higher. And by the way, they sold the company with, it was like 13 employees, but like exploding DAO, right? Because it was a network effect product. Now, the next question that maybe somebody might say, hey, I have a tool. I don't know. I have an app that tracks music stats. Or I have some, I don't know, give me some utility, Steve, that you saw recently. Utility app.
Maybe I'll just go with my stuff. Sleep Sounds app.
All right. Yes, I have this. That like it's like a single player, right? The user is coming, getting something, and is interacting just with the app, and then goes away. That's all. This is how it finished. So there is a saying: come for the tool, stay for the network. So even if you find a way to acquire users for free, for not free, having the core loop, maybe having some virality K factor. Once you put inside the network component, in like, as I said, you are coming to the app to consume, let's say, your music stats, how long you listened to Taylor Swift in the last month. Maybe there are people that actually, or users that actually, you know, want to know it, okay? And there are.
Yep.
And then you build a feature that these users can maybe interact with the top listeners of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So now you created a much bigger a possible optional product and value of the product. And once they start to interact with each other and creating these connections, one-to-one, one-to-many, inside groups, there are so many ideas and a way to think about it, you actually spike and explode the value of your product. You will see it in also in the revenue every month once you will put monetization on these features, of course, in the smart way. But for the exit, these are the best apps. The best apps having interactions between users and network effect, some type of network effect inside the app, even if we are talking just about the tool. Does that make sense, okay. Steve?
I love it. How about what Hamid said was, what about to-do list app?
All right, to-do list app. So you can maybe interact with your, I don't know, like your partner, right? That also need to do. Or maybe you can commit that you are going to do this today and he is tracking you actually doing it. I mean, There are so many ways to think about it. And what we see that indie devs are just thinking about the tool, about like the functionality of a user against the machine, against the phone, whatever.
Yeah.
And they are not thinking about how to connect between these users in one way or another. And when you think about it, you can also think some kind of gamification, some plays. You can interact through messages or, I don't know, do that, but don't do this, et cetera, et cetera. So
got it.
This is something that is really missing out.
I want to highlight a couple of things. I don't know. Anything else on the, are we still sticking on the thing? I want to highlight a couple of things. I heard this on the Sub Club podcast with David Bernard, Revenue Cat. They did a great job. But anyways, he had the founder of Healthy app, and they were talking about just that alone. What you just said, the community, you guys can see it right here. It's on the website, was a big part. And he says, we built the tool. There's a freemium tool. You can see what everybody's talking about, but you can't post. And so the community feature is one of the biggest paid features that they have within the app. So there are things that's why I love the chart that you just had with the virality and the core loop part of it too, where I think indie developers, to your point, we think about the trigger and the action. We don't think enough about the retention side and how do you build a community. And even to the to-do list app, like you said, accountability, wins, streaks, sharing that streaks, a leaderboard. You know, there are little things that you can do to get people back into the app. So
So if you think about it, I'm still getting to my email like this person like you or not like you, like send you something in LinkedIn or in Facebook, friend request, like, and actually the fact that there is something that is happening in the app regarding like me, right? So something is sending, interacting somehow with me, creating some kind of FOMO, and then you find yourself just like creating this habit of jumping into the app. Because if I did something in the app and I know what I did, maybe I don't want to come back to do my to-do list, right? But if somebody, I don't know, is saying to me, hey, you have 2 more hours to complete your to-do list. Okay, now I'm in different game, right? I want to come back and deliver. The question is, how do you measure success? And of course, you can measure for every network effect. Let's say, again, make new friends. You can measure unique connections. How many unique connections created for this user on in a day, or whatever metrics that makes sense to focus on. But roughly speaking, for most apps, when we want to increase retention, the network effect is the best retention driver, not only value for the potential future exit, and we can measure it easily. Every app has, I believe, a Firebase connection, and inside you can actually see on the right side, you can see the the usual retention curve, but on the left side, and this is what is more important, you can see the D1 retention cohort, D7 and D30, and once you implement some kind of a network effect, you will, of course, you need to connect the push notification into it and make all the ecosystem like notify the user that something happened so they can jump in. But you will see, supposed to see, growth in retention day one. Once you see retention day one better, you will see all the other graphs growing as well, unless like you missed something out later on. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah, I love it. So focus on day one. If you can improve day one, day 7, day 30 becomes a lot easier.
Sure. Exactly.
Sure. Good enough, Steve. You're simplifying it, but good enough.
Okay. No, this is right. Okay, so this is the last thing. This is, I think, Steve's favorite. mine also, honestly. So monetization. So we have so many things to do in monetizations. So we have data selling. We have optimization of subscription plans. We have dynamic pricing to show different pricing for different segments of users. We can have like paywalls and advertisements and also like more hardcore stuff, location selling, right? Data selling, which is like little bit gray areas of monetization, but I saw these types as well. But something that is really like top, let's say top level, or really works, something that really works, is live ops. Mm-hmm. Live ops means like the full name is live operations. Again, it's coming from gaming. We have in our team some people that join from gaming, and they exposed us. You know, there is the gaming world, and there is the apps world. Like everything that is not a game is an app, right? Right. And some things that are coming from gaming into the app world are really, really exciting. So what is it? LiveOps. So the goal of LiveOps is to make apps more dynamic and engaging, which in turn boost player engagement and therefore revenue opportunities. Actually, we can see in the picture, like in the examples here, three types of LiveOps campaigns. One is concept or seasonality offer. So we can see here like adventure offer in the weekend or something, okay? You can create a paywall dynamically. And if you need tools, there is the Purchase.ly, which I really recommend on. And there are two revenue cat, right, Steve? They have also this functionality.
Yep.
All the industry is aligning toward the dynamic paywalls, okay? So it's really powerful. You create something, you deliver it to the store, Adventure Week, of course, if there is a Christmas or something like that. But you should not wait for the actually seasons because there are not too many. And you actually can launch a new offer every weekend, every week, every whatever your best day, your worst day, whatever you will think of. So you just create a concept, you deliver some promotion around this concept. The users that are coming into the app feeling that the app is alive. It's not just a static app. Like we spoke about single player versus multiplayer with the network effect. Here we are talking about, like, you think about it, you're jumping to the app and you see some offer and you see some excitement around it. People will take it, okay? And the increase in revenue will be very significant. So this is concept and seasonality offer. Then we have bundle special offer. So you take, I don't know, two products that you have, you combine them. You can say one is for free, one is for a payment. And again, everything is dynamic. You connect all these products like from these tools, okay? And you deliver it. And again, the results are very amazing. People think that they get something for free if they just buy this. And this creates excitement. They never saw this paywall. This is the first time they saw the paywall. You can target buyers. You can target people that did not buy so far. You can increase the offer for people that, let's say, already bought Steve in $5. Now you want to push them toward the $7 or $8 or $9. Okay, depends what we are talking about. I'm not talking about the game here. I'm talking about an app. In this case, it's consumables. Okay, there is another question: how do you do it with subscriptions or with lifetime offers? Right. But it's just that more creativity, but it's very possible, okay? The last thing is personal offer. Again, you segment your users, buyers, and you put them in the buckets, buyers versus not buyers, and people that bought, how much they spent so far if you have a consumable app, and then you put a better offer with increased pricing to the segment to push them to the next, let's say, tier. Okay, does that make sense? Or it's too hardcore?
No, it completely makes sense. And I'm trying to find an app. I just came across an app alone that was doing the same exact thing where I love this because I know from a gaming perspective, this stuff works. And so I love that you're trying to bring some of the gaming concepts into the app world. And I came across another app that did exactly this and I'm trying to find it and I can't find it. But anyways, I love it.
All right. Actually, behind it, there is like a calendar that they're handling. Like every day is a happy day, and there is a new offer to a new segment of users, and you actually learn some stuff. Once you learn something that really works, let's say the adventure offer, the live ops that you deliver to all the users is becoming a protocol. So let's say every first weekend, that the user is entering after the seventh day, he will get the adventure offer. Why? Because I know that it works. Okay. Yep. So this is something that also left behind. Success KPIs. So usually it's good to measure RPD, revenue per download, or average revenue per DAO. And we should look at the cohorts when we want to see. And in this like example, we can see here an app that cohort of users means like, let's say from December 3rd to December 9th, I don't know how many users entered, but on average, in week number zero, they worth 52 cents. And then in week number one, they worth 13 cents, et cetera, et cetera. And you can calculate like this easily, the LTV, and see if you are getting better with your monetization in general. But in LiveOps, we can see here that there is optimization of about already 0.81 in week zero. So there is a huge percentage of increase. And this is how you can actually check if this stuff works for you. All right?
That's awesome. Thanks for simplifying it too.
Yes. So, okay, like love summarizing, we can have so much to do. And if we're going to even think to do everything, we're going to lose everything, let's say. So in every room, the acquisition room, the engagement room, the retention and the monetization, we just need to pick one thing and do it really, really well. Okay? Once we do it, we are opening up the opportunity for a seven-figure exit. And now you can think, okay, I'm an indie, you know, I cannot do it all. Maybe I'm too focused on, I don't know, some features that or I'm trying the engagement and trying maybe retention, but I'm not really building the core loop as we spoke, or I don't care about viral effect, the network effect, who can think about it even, not to say LiveOps. But the scope is to pick just one thing from each room, each screen, and to do it really well. And you can also outsource it. So for ASO, you can go to Steve easily. You have the best expert in the industry for sure. And I'm not saying it because it's Steve and he's hosting me. I actually worked with him and you can get amazing results, and you can focus maybe on the core loop, which means like actually coding, or network effect features which is exciting, et cetera, et cetera. Steve, I don't think I saw somebody that can make his app worth a seven figures exit without at least three like rooms, let's say, out of the four that we see here. Did you see something? Can you think about such a thing?
I love it. No, I love it. I agree with you.
Yeah, because if you're doing, let's say you're doing very well user acquisition, but you don't have any retention or engagement, or it's licit, it's poor, not to say monetization, you don't have a real asset, and nobody will spend seven figures just to get it, okay? So you need to have at least three. I saw app owners that are not doing maybe good monetization, but still, let's think just like, again, WhatsApp, right? They had amazing user acquisition, engagement, and retention. They never monetized. They tried $1, but it actually didn't work, right? And they sold for billions of dollars, right?
Right.
So it can happen. But we need to think about it this way. We saw the viral effect, the core loop, the network effect, and the live ops as an example. But again, go to your easiest win that you're familiar with, or you have a good outsource to reach out in order to take care of this, let's say, part of the game, and you can actually grow your app to a seven figures exit, which is like, you can see the faces of people that are actually like seeing seven figures in their bank account. The first thing that they do, they buy a car. I don't know. There is a thing. They buy a car. This is what they do. They picture themselves with the car, which is always funny. And then they keep sometimes working with us, partnering with us, sometimes staying for longer, etc.
That's awesome. Hey, yeah. Can you go back to the previous slide real quick?
This one?
So go check out bluethrone.io if you're interested in either selling your app or just getting a valuation. I think a lot of times you can do a six-figure exit focusing on just acquisition and monetization. But I think, you tell me if I'm wrong on this, but when it comes to the seven-figure, then it is adding in the engagement, retention, all that side.
Yes, this is what like, even like VC that want to invest, like maybe not in a super early stage when there is only an idea, but later on they want to see these metrics. What's the retention? What the users do after you acquire them. If you lose them very quickly, there is something here that cannot scale to a $1 billion company or even hundreds of millions, right?
Yeah, I love it. Okay, let's get into some questions. I don't know what this means, Alan, but somebody wrote this in the comments.
He said, you are the most Israeli that, you know, I know, like you are, as you speak, as you
All right, ask. Let's talk well. Yeah. Calm down there. All right, Malcolm says, I have a newsletter. How do I monetize it?
Like an email newsletter, he means, yeah. Probably, right?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. So you can monetize it by selling ads inside the newsletter. And we saw it a lot in the email itself. You can monetize it by sending them to purchase stuff from your app or from your companion app or somebody mm-hmm. that you collaborate with, right? Even outside of the store in Stripe or whatever, right? A lot of ways. When you have a traffic, it's just about the offer, the right offer to give. The traffic is the hard part, not the offer. The offer, you rotate and you find out.
You can build your own products, Malcolm. You can be an affiliate. One of our clients, Alan, all we did was we put Amazon affiliate links and we're like, hey, here's our top products in whatever industry niche, right? And then they were all Amazon affiliate links. And then whatever they bought, because it's Amazon, they can buy anything. We get a commission off of that. So this is easy. Like Alan said, the hard part is getting subscribers into your newsletter. The easy part is making money from them. Okay, Alan, let's get in. Thank you for that. People loved it. Here we go. We got some of the comments. Sam says, great insight shared. Thank you, Steve, for your efforts. I didn't do anything. Alan did everything, man. Sorry, I'm going to butcher your name. Wow. I wouldn't be able to think of networking for To-Do app. Really professionals in the stream as well. All right. Oh, got some questions. Okay, well, let's get into some of the questions and we'll get into the app audit. Victor from Brazil says, how do I move from a new app to create this community?
Okay, first, I don't know the scope of the new app and why. What's the core loop and what's the intention that people are downloading the app, but probably there is such, I hope. Once you have the users inside that are coming for utility, let's say, as we spoke, music stats or Steve example, then you build the layer of the network. You cannot force the layer of network if somebody is just coming to do a to-do list, right? You don't want to share it with anybody. So this is how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, the one thing, I have this virality thing too. And I just say, look, have users. That's number one rule. Okay. Before you even think about anything, Victor, you know, and if you think about Alan's, all the four escape rooms, monetization, acquisition, it will get you very far. Then you add on the community and all that stuff to there. Because if you don't have any users, you don't have a community. It doesn't matter regardless. All right. And Lucas says, for specific apps, how to spread it in the beginning? Ah, come on, Lucas. Give me more details. So give us your app and then we'll help you with the details. What do you think, Alan? That's a good way to answer that, right?
Acquisition. Let's focus on the first room.
Yes.
Nail it and then continue.
All right. Let's get into the app audit side. And with every app audit, we like to start it with some jokes. All right, my friend, you want to go first or do you want me to go first? What are we playing?
You go first.
All right. We got to go and Don has to be involved too, right? So it's going to be the three of us always. All right. I've got some cheesy ones for you. What do you call a ghost? You swear you Rewind. What do you call a ghost? You swear you've seen before. You swear you've seen before.
Okay.
Okay. What do you call a ghost?
How?
Deja vu. All right.
All right. So last year you beat me. So let me try to beat you.
Yes, sir.
Why did the app owner became a gardener?
Why?
Because he wanted to finally see something that grows.
Okay, that's too close to home. That's too close to home. All right, but A, if you thought Alan's joke was better, and put S, if you thought my joke was better. And then if you want your app audited in future live stream, just go to appmasters.com/audit. All right, Alan, we got Michael's app right here. He wants onboarding and activation. So shall we get into it? Anything from the screenshot side that you want to really get? So it's an app that allows you to work out with podcasts. So,
yes, looks nice in overall. Looks nice. 2020, whatever, 3, 4, something like that.
Yeah, I like it. New way to listen to podcasts during your workouts. It plays music when your effort is high and shifts to podcasts when you rest. It all happens automatically, so you don't have to manually switch between your workout. Very niche, I don't know how many people want that, but very niche. Okay, let's get into the app itself. Let me just move some screens and get you guys into Shift. What kind of workout? I like all of it, but all right.
Mm-hmm. Offer.
Offer right away. Crush it with music.
Is it a hard sales game?
Let's see. Oh, man. I don't know if my phone is breaking. Oh, there you go. Yeah, it looks hard. Looks like a hard play wall. Let's see if we can get into it with the see all plans. No, $29 a year. It's pretty cheap, though. What do you think, Alan?
So, without seeing the data,
yeah,
this is where people drop, either because they don't understand how to actually try it without committing to the free trial, or you know, for another reason. I tried it as well, and I really looked for the hidden X or something, you know. But I couldn't find it. Again, what's the purpose? Like, and what's the conversion from, let's say, how many free to trial and trial to actually subscribers? It's a big question. You know, I would test different ways of a freemium, like I show in the Fitbod, where you can get your three first workouts, because once you start to work out, as we spoke with the core loop, okay, you have the action and then you get some reward and it's likely that you come back. Even without committing, after three, you end up your workouts. So what you are going to do now, you are in the middle of the core loop and now you are going to subscribe. So it's a better intention. It doesn't work that it doesn't mean that it will work here, but I think it's worth trying.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm actually, as much as I talked about hard paywalls a lot, especially as we think about a seven-figure exit as well, sticking with the theme, I'm coming down on that. I know it works short-term, but I think long-term, you really want a freemium offer because engagement, you know, retention, all the things that you talked about, hard to get when you're just going to be a hard paywall because a lot of people are going to drop off here and they're never going to discover anything within the app. And so, get that core loop first, let them do that first workout, right? And then eventually, that's what I think too. I think he needs to let them do that first workout. And then maybe even, Alan, like, what are your different podcasts? How often do you listen to podcasts? Maybe get some data in the onboarding because it's so new, the app, it looks like, especially in the US, that I would try to get some data in the very beginning just to ask questions. So even he's in the UK because it defaulted to the UK. That's 9 reviews going in the US. 57. Okay, he's got a bit more.
You mean like connect some integrations, like with maybe Apple Podcast to grab the data, and then it's a good part.
Not first to and then eventually hit him with the paywall. Right now, it feels a little too soon. As much as I like hard paywalls, I'd say it's a little too soon for my taste. All right, Michael, give it a shot. Let us know what happens in your app, Alan. Looks like you're getting revenge on me. So a lot of A's for you. All right. A person says, how do I know if my app is unique enough?
It's a good question. If you have users inside, if you don't have users, you don't know. Okay. Let's say like this. Maybe you have something, you don't know about it. But a good hint will be, and this is something that we see a lot. You know, in the App Store, you have the Apple benchmarks. It's quite new, like 1 year. Yep. So you can see your app compared, by the way, in retention, in monetization, to other apps in the same niche. This is a good indicator, at least where you are at compared to the competition or possible competition. So this is the first place to look at.
Yeah, I like that too. And I don't think you need to be that unique. That's my opinion, right? Like, you just need people to find your app. And there's all these ChatGPT apps. There's all these AI image art generator apps. Like, there's all these things. They're not that unique. Is WhatsApp that unique? It's just like a messenger app. But, you know, now I get to talk to Alan from all over, you know, like, I can talk to anybody from all over the world with WhatsApp. So I don't know. Yeah. All right. Crypto Crunch says, what can I do? I have lots of downloads, but very low day one, day seven retention.
All right. So first, if you have a lot of downloads, and by a lot of downloads, you mean organic downloads, because if you pay for them, everybody can have a lot of downloads paying for them, a lot. So if it's organic downloads, this is the first part. So if you nail the first part of the acquisition, now we need to really drill down and focus on session zero. What is happening in session zero? What people are doing or not doing? It's related also to the core loop. If there is one, maybe there is not one. So they are just coming to the app, getting this appointment, maybe getting this hard paywall, and they're saying, okay, it's not for me, and leaving. But the first part is done. Lots of downloads is a huge value. As we said, traffic first. This is the most difficult thing to achieve. And then you can move to the next escape rooms or exit rooms.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Julia says, with the paywall, is it better to have an X to close or a swipe down for a free version? I'll give you an example of a swipe down. Mm-hmm. So here, Julia, maybe you saw this. So
yeah,
this is a swipe down.
It also goes swipe up when it's as a pop-up. It's like a pop-up or just on the screen like this? This is the question.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember the functionality when I saw this app, but I thought it was very interesting. A friend of mine did this. I was like, oh, this is pretty first time I've seen something like that. I think it might be pop-up or it might just show up.
Yes, because if it's a pop-up, the intention is you have a pop-up, you just like want to take it down. But, you know, it's worth testing, and it's quite easy to test, at least with a dynamic paywall, software or something.
Yeah, Juliet, you have to test with the paywalls. That's the hardest thing to answer. And we've seen all of it work, so you can even do this way where Lingo Kids, and this is Michael, you might try this, where he does start my free trial, and then you hit under view all plans, you go under view all my plans, maybe later, and then you get into the app. So that is a semi-hard paywall. So, and then this is another semi-hard paywall. Swipe down, and you get the free access. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. All right. A person, he did it twice. So I'm going to ask, what should I do about the 30% commission takes from my revenue in the app?
So first, if it's 30%, it means that you're above $1 million.
Right.
Or you forgot to go to the small business program, which maybe makes more sense. But if you're above $1 million, it's amazing.
Yeah. Try Web2 app, but there's, I mean, there's a reason why, obviously Apple's taken a lot, but it fit in the second year, so maybe focus or attend, hit rolling, that. But honestly, I think it's a dumb question, a person. No offense. And it's just like, what are you talking about? What are you going to do? Move then, or go to Web2 app. Like, there's ways around it if you really want to try to get around it, but Apple is providing you with the ecosystem to make over $1 million if you haven't done that. So what other ecosystem provides that? Yes, it is a lot, but think of other ways. So Web2 app might be interesting for you. One of our clients moved to Stripe, so Apple's relaxing some of their rules. But if you're really that gung-ho about lowering that 30%, then think about Web2 app and getting people to subscribe. Revenue Cat, I think Purchasely might have, I know Adaptee has this Web2 app where people, they tie into the app and then you can get people to pay through Stripe and then obviously use your app at the same time.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this last app. Oh, let's get into round two. How you doing, Alan? You still awake?
I'm warming up.
It's late in Thailand.
Yeah,
all right.
Fine.
You want to go first or you want me to go first again? You went on round one.
You go first.
All right. What nut is always mad at you?
What?
Pissed off you.
Nice. Nice. All right, my turn. Why did the skeleton refuse to participate in the escape room?
Ooh, I love the theme. Why?
Because he didn't have the guts to get out.
I like it. All right, same rules. Come on, we need more. We should do something for the people who vote. A for Alan and S for Steve. And then I got to try to tie it up. All right, Davey, I think that's how you say his name. My app helps you memorize anything. I don't know how to sell it, who to sell it to. So far, it makes enough money for me to live, but I'm doubting a lot of how to market this. I can code, but I can design, but I'm crap. He's the S word at selling. Okay, so he needs help with acquisition. It's a good app. Here we go. So it's a flashcard app. Helps you create flashcards. Looks really good. Uh-huh. The design looks really good. You got any tips?
like the question is how to market it, and like by looking at the screenshots, it seems like I don't know, for a student or for I don't know, some you know, medicine students, for medicine or something. I believe there are other use cases, but something that we should never forget about marketing and acquisition, we should aim for, let's say, the right avatar, customer avatar, right? And what does it mean, the right avatar? We must, let's say, make sure that he has money to pay for these things. Let's say if we're aiming for students or for Gen Z or for, I don't know, under 17 years old, I don't know how much money depends, of course, on what the category and the pain or the niche that you are attracting, but you should carefully pick the avatar and think about it as well.
Yeah, I like it. Let's get into the app, because then I might have more intel on what the app actually does, because I don't know if it's a flashcard maker yet or if it's just you can learn better. And I don't know what Anki flashcards are, but that could be something that they do. Okay. Anki method is based on science. Explore tons of curated flashcards, customized flashcards to your needs. Continue. What is your goal? I love this. Yes. Michael, this might be interesting for you. Well, learn languages, Spanish. I'm a beginner. Probably 10 minutes before. Ooh, okay. I like this. I do like this. Great onboarding.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Okay. But you can quit. No payment now, right?
Mm-hmm. $30. There's an X at the top, too. Mm-hmm. Hit X real quick. Ah. I can make... Nice. No, I like this. Okay. Now some intel. You want to go?
Honestly, the onboarding looks good, and the, you also grab a lot of information there where like people can get, let's say, hooked, committed to something. It looks nice. I really want to see the numbers under the hood. Like, what do you mean by how many downloads you have? What's the revenue per download, the LTV, all this nice stuff. I even look at this stuff before I look at the app, because the numbers tell the story. And once you get familiar with that, you understand also the story, but overall looks amazing.
Yep, I agree. So let me look at this first app, Anki app, because I want to know if Anki has interesting traffic. So it does. So I didn't know this. 32. So this is good. I'd focus on ASO a bit to try to get you higher rankings for Anki and Anki flashcards. But this is the thing that I wanted to highlight too. It's flashcard maker. I do know that some people search for that. And I know you have it here, but that's what I would try to really focus on. And given that, Xavi, you don't have a brand, yeah, here. So I would probably lead in with your ASO from Spanish Mexico. I just moved that. Just change that to flashcard maker and keep it together, because in the US, it's not together. And I would try to play around with that a bit more. Then you already have it. So just go all in on flashcard maker. That's what I'm telling my email on. I need more data to do this. But for one of our clients, we're seeing pretty good results where we're using all 9 different US supported languages, the Vietnamese, Spanish, Mexico, and just going all in on a keyword phrase. And so for here, it could be flashcards maker, and just going all in on that phrase in the Spanish Mexico. So lose everything else, just go exact match in the title of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then turn on Apple Search Ads Basic, because for our app, we did see pretty good results, Alan, where we turned on Apple Search Ads Basic. We haven't been able to scale it, but if you're just, because maybe you look at selling that on, might help out. Seems like you're making enough money that you can invest in some growth outside of, in some paid acquisition, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, another thing that it will help, what's the name of the guy?
Davey?
Yes,
X-A-B-I.
All right, is to like take a look on your current rankings, what keywords you are ranked for, okay? Probably there are a few keywords that are ranked top position or where you get the traffic. Maybe you can get hints about the niche or the, you know, user avatar that people are looking for, and this is how they find the app. Like Steve said, what was it? Make flashcards or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know the rankings, but you can get a lot of ideas and sense out of the how the algorithm sees you and which downloads you are getting from which keywords. And then you can test with Apple Search Ads, etc., to find the right formula, let's say.
Yep, I love it. I love this niche category. This is like, don't sleep on niches, because you don't know how big the niche is. It's the first time I've heard of Anki. So I'm like, whoa. And then just to close the loop on this, the network effect, if you guys are interested in following it, it's NFX. Right, Alan?
Yeah.
NFX.
Yeah, there is like free courses and stuff, and it's amazing. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I love it. All right, Alan. All right, thank you, Rob, but we're going to give Alan the win here. SSAAS, we got a tie, but you're the guest, my friend, and this will make it more fun for the next round. Now that we're even, exactly. we'll have a tiebreaker round. All right, let me get into the last few questions before I let Alan go. Kevin says, hey, any tips on what I should benchmark against? Which metrics are good? Okay, we already talked about this. Look at App Store Connect. There's a benchmark for the retention. I forget what the screens are, but that's how you quickly find it. Victor says, there's a lot of apps growing with Reels. Is there some new platforms that you see other apps growing with? It's a great question.
No, like every app has its own thing. Let's say sometimes it's TikTok, sometimes it's Instagram. I didn't found one like, hey, this is the niche. Everybody goes there.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing too, Victor. I mean, the big four: Apple Search Ads, Google Ads, TikTok, and Meta. You can go pretty far with just those four and focusing on those. Marcel says, Alan, very informative session for user acquisition. How can we determine what competitors are paying for keywords? For SEO, we can use Chrome plugins, but how do we do that for iOS?
Yeah, you have it in tools like a Mobile Action. You can see which is betting on these keywords, etc.
Yep. Cool. Next, let's see. Okay, this is a good question for you. Roman says, hey, Alan, I'm curious about the acquisition process at Blue Throne. Do you typically acquire 100% of the ownership, or is it possible for there to be a partial buyout?
Yeah, so we have let's say, two ways for an exit. One is actually like full acquisition. The app owner stays for a transition period. Sometimes it's 3 months. Sometimes it's 1 year or more than that. And there is the other way of partnership, where we partner up together. Of course, the app should be interesting, and we can see how we can do all the things that we saw on the screen, right? This is what our team is doing. But actually, we need to see that there is some product market fit here. Also, that the app owner is, made from the right material, let's say. We can work with communication-wise, like knowledge. We can do some stuff, bringing some expertise from the niche, let's say. It's a very important thing because, I don't know, I'm not expert in a to-do list, right? The guy should to do all these things. So this is how we do. One way is full acquisition. One way is a partnership. And we can speak. And anyway, even if it's not going to either of these directions, we can also share like the report, what we see as a low-hanging fruit opportunities from what we just saw in the show today.
Yeah, I like it. How can I A/B test paywall pricing? I'm worried it's not best practice, show different prices to different people.
I saw so many developers that are stressed about it, and they are missing so much big time. So, I mean, I don't see any reason why not to experiment. You can take, if you have some bad feelings, 10% or 20%, or really go slow with it, depending on the number of traffic, to get significant result. But we do it a lot by geo, by gender, by behavior, but by a lot of things. And it's amazing. It moves the needle. And it's very bad not to try it.
Michael says, we used to experiment with loads of, this was the other app, the Stride app. I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. Shift app. We used to experiment with long onboarding, ended up with a very short one, but no matter how long onboarding we had, it's very hard to explain our concept. So optimize for getting people quickly in the app. Michael, you could, during the onboarding, just let them experience the app. Like, pick a different popular podcast, New York Times Daily, doesn't matter. Pick a popular music, whatever you can get licensed, and let them try, hey, do a Jumpy Jacks. You know, like, test it out. Maybe that will help them explain it. Cause yeah, you do have a very niche app. So let them experience it maybe during the onboarding instead of a video, which is essentially what you're trying to do there too. Okay. Nurek says, Steve, on App Store, better have corporations account or personal? What do you think, Alan?
For an exit purposes, corporation, but we see a lot of with a personal, but it's easy to transfer a personal to a corporate. It's a matter of tax and everyone are different, let's say.
I love it. All right. The website, once again, it is bluethrone.io. Blue like the color, throne like the crown, bluethrone.io to get evaluation of your app, or if you're looking to exit big time too, you guys have done some big acquisitions, go check out bluethrone.io. All right, Alan, anything else that you want to cover?
No, thank you. It was lovely. I need to like calm myself down to go to sleep. Maybe sleeping pills will help this time. But after every show, I'm energized and now I will be calm. Yes,
well, hopefully we'll see each other later this year. But it's always good to talk to you. And we've become good friends because of this relationship as well. All right, guys. Next week, probably going to be a solo episode. So I'm going to try to do something a little bit different. Maybe try to answer all your questions. Get through a few more app audits because we have a long list that I need to get through. So I might just do something fun and different next week. But it's going to be you and me. And every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, join. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. If you can't watch the video version, which I recommend anyways, go check out the podcast by going to appmasters.com/podcast. Alan, thank you so much for coming on and doing this.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you guys for watching, and I'll see you on next week.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.